Hello, friends, and welcome to the most glorious of events, the Movie Mavericks Podcast. This outstanding program is hosted by two fine gentlemen, Jason and Trevor. Now make it so.
MovieMavericks.com.
Hey, now everybody, welcome to episode 333 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson. I'll send you over to Jason Rugard, who's going to tell us what's so special about this all number three episode.
This is going to be a trailer-only episode. I guess about 100 million people yesterday watched the Super Bowl and probably saw some of these teasers that we're going to be talking about. There was numerous films being advertised. Some of these are going to be full-length trailers, but we've got them all for you. We're going to play them in their entirety, and then we're going to discuss them afterwards. Our leadoff trailer on the show today is going to be Jurassic Park or Jurassic World 2. And when the island's dormant volcano begins to roar back to life, Owen and Claire mount a rescue to save the dinosaurs from another extinction-level event.
Do you remember the first time you saw a dinosaur?
Hey, Blue.
We don't really believe it. It's like a miracle. Something's coming.
It's a T-Rex. It's a T-Rex.
Stop. It's not a T-Rex.
Blue, come with me. You know you can't stay here.
Jurassic World. The island.
You're all right. Easy, girl.
All of that is in the past.
Am I dead?
Not yet, kid.
I want to show you the future.
What is that thing?
They made it.
Blue!
You need to get us out of here.
Yeah.
Out of all the trailers on yesterday's Super Bowl, apparently Jurassic World 2, the animal kingdom here, was the most viewed and the highest rated amongst polled people. I don't know now that some of these other trailers have dropped if that still holds true, but this was definitely one that was really buzzed about in the place where I was at watching the bowl. I think this looks like more of the same, personally. I can't see any differentiation from the first one to this. Maybe that's good in keeping with some sort of continuity, but I'm fairly underwhelmed with this trailer, as I was with some of the teasers that have come out before it. I don't see anything that's notable or different in this. What do you got going on?
Yeah, I disagree. I think this looks absolutely fantastic. I'm down for another Jurassic World. I think it's great that they're incorporating now the raptors back into the fray. And again, he's kind of in control of it, this and that. But it's almost, to me, feels a bit like a Terminator 2-ish type thing where the bad guys in the original, you know, are the good guys in the new one. And then there's a new... I mean, they've done this time and time again in all the Jurassic Parks, right? Where they have a new dinosaur that's the big bad, and again they've done that here. And I think the new raptor thing, whatever they've made here, looks super freaky and very scary. So yeah, I'm good to watch. I think this looks much better than the first trailer they had out.
I will agree with you on that point, and I will also agree with you that raptor in the very beginning of this trailer looks alien-esque. It almost looks like a Geiger design, you know, from one of the early alien
crazy
movies.
Looking it definitely looks like something evil and not something natural, you know. It looks like something human made, which it is. So I don't know, interesting. Could be a good movie, could be completely too silly, but we'll see. I don't know.
All right, what do we got next?
Solo.
I've been running scams on the street since I was 10. I was kicked out of the flight academy for having a mind of my own. I'm gonna be a pilot.
galaxy.
Hey, kid. I'm putting together a crew. You in?
That's yes.
I might be the only person. Who knows? What you really are.
What's that?
I thought we were in trouble there for a second, but it's fine. We're fine.
All right. During an adventure into a dark criminal underworld, Han Solo meets his future co-pilot Chewbacca and encounters Lando Calrissian years before joining the Rebellion. I think that if anything, this trailer continues to prove that Lucasfilm should be in the trailer cutting business, because mm-hmm. looks friggin' amazing. I, you know, after the last Star Wars movie, I swore off Star Wars movies, and then they show me this trailer and I'm all in again. I'm ready to watch this. I think the music looks sounds fantastic. The visuals are fantastic as always. I like the casting. And this could be very interesting. Of course, as I've learned, I should know better. This will turn out to be a giant pile of crap. What do you think?
I'm in total agreement with everything you just said. This is another either a con job or a great movie waiting to happen. As I watched this trailer, I kept thinking about the weird kind of serendipity of all this, where you got Ron Howard taking over this project, making a movie about a young Harrison Ford, who he was in a movie with in American Graffiti under George Lucas back in the day. So it's this really weird, convoluted thing that's going on here. But all of that put aside, I'm agreeing with you. I think this trailer, at least, is almost brilliant, the way it's put together and the kind of hype that it instilled in me. And I feel like a little kid again. I'm sitting here watching something that a Star Wars preview that's going to come out in May, a Jurassic Park preview that's going to come out in May. We're going to talk about an Avengers one that's going to come out in May. This is a crazy summer we're lining ourselves up for. If I was 12, this would have been the summer of my life. But as a grown right? man now, or as an older man, I don't know if I'm ever going to be grown, but I don't know if this could live up to this trailer, which we've seen time and time again from Lucasfilm. So jury's still out.
Right? It's rough on these Star Wars movies. I'm telling you, I don't understand how they're getting this so wrong all the time.
All right, our next trailer today is for Avengers Infinity War.
So this is it? It's all been leading to this?
Ready? Let's go.
And the Avengers must put aside their differences and come together to defeat Thanos before he ruins the world. This is a very short little teaser that was shown yesterday during the big game. Doesn't give a lot in terms of what's going on here. Some great visuals in it. Doesn't need a lot to sell it, because this is going to be a massive hit when it does come out. As I watched this, I kept thinking about how important that theme music is. Just like with the last couple movies we've talked about, these all have a very distinctive theme, and when it plays, it gets the blood going. Some of the marriage of music and visuals in these trailers is extremely high this time around.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, this looks fantastic as always. Every single trailer teaser they release, they don't really give away much of anything. They just show you, hey, all these people we're gonna have a gajillion people in it. The universe is so much bigger now at this point. We're going to include Guardians of the Galaxy and everyone from Avengers and, yeah, I don't know, whoever the hell else. You know, we've got new superheroes left and right, it seems like, every year. And they keep including them into these Avengers movies. And successfully, insanely enough. So I can't wait to see what they do here with this and how they're going to incorporate people like Guardians of the Galaxy, which I've come to love. Will it work, you know, or will it just seem as some kind of a side insertion thing that doesn't really lead any credence to why the hell they would put all these guys together. You know what I mean?
What's interesting is that these Avengers movies are the anchor, and the spinoff films are basically spun off of what the events that happen in
at
the Avengers movies.
At this point, yeah, I would agree with you. Yeah.
Even Iron Man 3, I started that when he had the post-traumatic stress from the events in the Avengers film and things like that. You know, I thought that's really interesting how they've decided to do that.
But isn't that part of the whole cinematic universe, right? I mean, these stories all keep going along and along. I mean, that technically, I guess, happened before the first Avengers, as everyone was coming together, and then it hit with the first Avengers, and now it's just kept going on with every single movie, right? With this Infinity Wars thing, and Thanos is the bad guy. Well, that's Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, right? Like, everything kind of spills over into itself.
It bleeds nicely.
So I don't know. Yeah, it just seems like so much. I mean, at some point, we're going to wind up with what, an Avengers movie with over 50, 60 superheroes in it? I don't know. When does it stop, you know?
It's never going to stop. When they stop selling tickets, that's when it's going to stop. Speaking of the Avengers and their cohorts, what do we have next?
Up next, we have Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I just have one question. When Cap needed help, if I'd asked you, would you have come?
I guess we'll never know. But if you had, you'd have never been caught.
I do some dumb things. The people I love the most, they pay the price.
Thanks to you, we had to run. We're still running.
Let's go.
Someone watching your back. Like a partner.
Hold on. You gave her wings
and blasters.
So I take it you didn't have that tech available for me.
No, I did.
As Scott Lang balances being both a superhero and a father, Hope Van Dyne and Dr. Hank Pym present an urgent new mission that finds the Ant-Man fighting alongside the Wasp to uncover secrets from their past. I was not an enormous fan of the first Ant-Man movie, and as part of the Marvel fray, it definitely is serviceable and was a fine movie to watch, but wasn't something that afterwards I really wanted to know what happens next to Scott Lang here. Didn't really care. But with that out of the way, with that introductory nonsense out of the way, I think this looks like a lot more fun, and I really do like Paul Rudd in the role, and I like Michael Douglas as well, and Michael Pena, Evangeline Lilly. What's not to like about this?
Yeah, once again, we're in total agreement. Love the cast. Didn't particularly fall in love with the first Ant-Man. Thought it was on the upper tier of what I was expecting. You never bet against Marvel, though. I thought they were going to crash and burn with the original Ant-Man. That didn't happen. It looks like Black Panther is going to be a huge success when on paper it didn't seem like it would be. So I can't bet against it here. Once again, though, it looks like, I was saying, he's suffering repercussions of what his actions were in the last Avengers movie, which was really Captain America Civil War. But because of that, he's got things going on in his side story, which looks like a much more interesting side story than was that origin tale that we got last time. So I'm in for this one, if a minor entry in the superhero genre. Next, we have Skyscraper, Dwayne Johnson's latest action thriller.
FBI, show me your hands!
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
just a little nervous.
Well, you look very handsome.
I just don't want to screw it up, you know?
You have been preparing for this meeting for 6 months. You've got this.
Let me ask you guys a question. Daddy loves who?
Me.
Daddy loves who?
Me! Me!
Exactly. Daddy's gonna go make that bacon.
Gross.
Mr. Sawyer, is your family enjoying their stay?
Very much so. They're shocked. You gave us the entire floor.
After your security assessment, what do you think of the building?
With all due respect, he's a glorified security guard.
Please.
The Pearl is the tallest, most advanced building in the world. You've built a vertical city, but you've brought with it every single safety and security challenge that I could think of.
We thought this floor was empty.
So did I.
Not only have you brought them all indoors, but you've trapped them 240 floors in the air. No one really knows what would happen if things go wrong. But I'm just a glorified security guard, so what the hell do I know anyway? What's going on?
The 96th floor is on fire.
You're gonna be just fine, I promise you that.
No, 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 no!
Daddy!
Tell me, how much do you love your family?
If we're gonna get out of here, you're gonna have to tell me the truth.
There's a reason they chose this building.
My family is the only thing that matters to me right now.
Details for the plot of Skyscraper are apparently being kept under wraps, according to the internet. But we've got a pretty good inclination of what this thing's going to be about, okay? This is basically the Towering Inferno meets Die Hard. Right. I can't see much of a difference here. This is Dwayne Johnson's blatant attempt at doing the straight-up action thing after veering off into some family-friendly fear territory and comedy. And directed by Rawson Marshall Thurber, who he did Central Intelligence with, and whose only other – I mean, what's the only other action scene this guy's filmed in? Dodgeball? He's not much of an action director. He's got the Cannonball Run remake slated next. But I'm fairly impressed at the look of this thing, and it looks like big summertime, stupid fun, the kind of movie I would have gone and seen as a teenager, and I'm glad they're bringing this kind of stuff back because we don't just need superheroes. We need supermen sometimes. Human being, every man, even if they're Dwayne Johnson, to do these kind of things on screen. It's a throwback movie, and I'm all in.
Yeah, I totally agree. I really want to see this. I think this looks like a fun action movie. We don't get a lot of these anymore, so I'm glad that Dwayne Johnson's around to be able to herald one of these back into the theaters, you know, and have them actually spend some money on them, because I don't know. If not for this, and of course it is called Skyscraper and it's focused, unfortunately, on the skyscraper aspect of it, you know, instead of being Die Hard, you know,
it's like Cliffhanger almost, where even him jumping across reminds
I guess.
Me of
I mean, the realistic thing about this is, and I bring that up because I feel like the only reason that this got made is when you look at like Geostorm, right, that we had last year, or even the Rocks,
San Andreas.
What was it? San Andreas. There you go. There's another good example, right, of something that's an action movie, but then they also feel like they need some sort of something
gimmick.
Else to kind of, yeah, beef it up, I guess. Not just, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with movies these days, but I guess if you don't have like a superhero or something like that in it, you need something else, they feel like. When I just am really looking for the Marine, you know, I just want something basic where a guy just goes around and fights and stuff, you know. That's all I want. That's all I think that you need, you know. And you do a lot of fun stuff with that and you're great. I really don't need this whole skyscraper nonsense where I got to learn about this friggin' skyscraper and, oh, you trapped everyone here at the top. It's like just like any other skyscraper. What are you talking about? It's a skyscraper. It's called Skyscraper. It's not called like the most incredible skyscraper no one's ever built. It's just a damn skyscraper.
I think it looks like good dumb fun.
It does, but it's too much of the. I don't need the dumb explained to me. Just let you know the dumb can exist. I don't need a whole long explanation of why it's dumb.
What do we got next? I agree.
More dumb shit. No, I Kill Giants.
Gift of new, gift of old. Bless the righteousness. Guide my hand against the darkness. My final stand.
Barbara, I want to get to know you a little bit more. Do you have many friends? What about your sister?
I play your dragons or whatever if you ask me to.
That would be hilarious.
What are you doing? What's it for?
There's some serious stuff going down. I find giants. I hunt giants. I kill giants.
Cool. Yeah, that's it. Dark omens are totally cool. A giant comes to a place and takes everything from you. And when it's done, it's like anything that made your life good was never even there.
Giant's not real.
Then why are you sweating?
I know that no one likes me. I know that everything I do looks crazy.
This isn't real.
You're not listening to me! This giant is coming!
We're gonna save this town. There are times where you have to ask yourself, do I want to live my life as a coward or a warrior?
That was a little YouTube add-on there at the end. All right, so this is a movie about a young woman who basically makes it through life by escaping into a fantasy world where she fights and kills giants. This trailer definitely plays with the whole idea of, are the giants real? Is this all an imagination thing? You know, she just nuts trying to cope with life. And does a good job of throwing you back and forth. I do like movies like this where it's definitely a celebration of the fantastical, you know, and it kind of plays on the special effects and things that only really you can successfully be transported to a world like this, only really in the movie medium, maybe a video game medium as well, but definitely something you're not going to find elsewhere. I suppose in a book too. God damn it. You can find it anywhere, right, people? There's nothing special about this.
I agree with you once again. I think this is very common. Yeah. I think that this looks like another redo of a little movie that was called The Monster Calls last year. Remember that with Liam Neeson?
Yeah, it does. And I like that trailer too, though. But I like the idea of these types of movies, but they aren't always that great. Like Where the Wild Things Are, I guess, would be another one, right?
Which wasn't that great. I mean, that's a great book, but the movie wasn't successful.
I get caught up in this... in the celebration of the fantastical, I think it's a great, like, this is kind of like a great trailer to sell, like, movies. Like, what's possible with movies, right? You can go to a different world, but then I don't know.
This takes a certain type of touch as well. I mean, J.C. Yeah. Chander, who did The Monster Calls, is busy doing Jurassic World, which you talked about at the top of the show. And if you're not Terry Gilliam or someone like that who has this kind of childlike Spielberg, you know, can tap into their childlike essence and still deliver a movie without it being overly sentimental. Or if it is overly sentimental, it's done so in a Hollywoodized way to where you know it's what it's going for from the jump.
And you want something that's going to keep that excitement up and isn't going to just be some basic thing. I mean, you talk about Spielberg, but his giant movie was a giant failure as far as I'm concerned, you know, because it just treats everything as if it's normal, you know, like here's these big special effects and things that we spent $200 million on the movie, but it's just nothing special, you know, it's just giants. So if they do that with this, you know, you take all the wonder out of the trailer. And you just wind up with a long story about a little girl who sees a giants. You know, it's not, it has to be special, right?
Yeah, I didn't find anything special about this. I even felt the vibe of Tomorrowland, even though I know it's you know, with the girl that no one believes, and she can glimpse certain things that no one else is seeing. And it started to kind of blend together for me at the end there. I didn't think anything about this was too special.
All right, I take back my entire start of a glowing review here.
I got
tried
you to flip.
I tried to.
You heard that, folks.
Yeah.
I got him to flip.
Hey.
All right, next we have Mission Impossible Fallout.
Your mission. Should you choose to accept it? I wonder, did you ever choose not to? The end you always feared is coming. And the blood will be on your hands. The fallout of all your good intentions.
You had a terrible choice to make in Berlin. One life over millions. And now the world is at risk.
This is the CIA's mission. If he had held on to the plutonium, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
His team would be dead.
Yes, they would. That's the job.
Get down with the victims. We both know you need them. You're stuck in the middle of all irrelevance.
You don't understand what you're involved in.
You need to walk away.
How many times has Hunt's government betrayed him, disavowed him, cast him aside? How long before a man like that has had enough?
Ethan, that's not who we are.
Maybe we need to reconsider that.
You can't fight the friction!
So, how is he?
Oh, you know. Same old Ethan.
Doing?
I find it best not to look.
Ethan Hunt is back along with some familiar allies in a race against time after a mission goes wrong. Mission Impossible 6, better known as Mission Fallout, looks fantastic. This trailer, for me, just reinforces the idea that there was a soft reboot within the series back along probably about part four, Ghost Protocol, when they gave Simon Pegg a role. And it's almost like Fast Five in that franchise, the Fast and Furious, where they've set a new trilogy within the trilogy. And this looks great. I thought the last one was a complete step up from Ghost Protocol, which I find to be laborious even now to get through. And I can't wait for this movie. I think this might be the movie of the summer. It really looks good. Although they are veering slightly into that James Bond Spectre category with a continuing villain who seems to be very heavy-handed and ominous with his threats of what's coming and stuff. So I didn't like the James Bond penis envy kind of situation going on there. But I do like that this looks very exciting. And I'm just love this cast. I love this crew. And these movies are great fun. I'm glad Cruise is still doing them.
Yeah, I gotta agree 100%. This is the movie that I am waiting for this summer. You hear the music kick in, it's like yes, yes, and it's fantastic to see that Mission Impossible 4 is gonna be a fluke. I'm hoping, because 5 was so good, you know, 3, 2 great, 1 great, but again, as you say, a complete reboot, and I'm glad that they have got it under control, that they know where the hell they're going, and that they've defined Mission Impossible successfully as something that I think everyone's going to really like.
It's a lighthearted James Bond series at this point. It's counterpoint to
that. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, but even, I don't know, you say lighthearted, but it's not necessarily lighthearted. It's just not so dark, you know. Well, it does the same exact shit that the other James Bonds do. It just doesn't do it in such a brooding, like, the world stinks and I'm James Bond and I have to do this. You know, it's more like, all right, you know, I'm well, of course, it's Tom Cruise. So how could he do anything and not be make you excited about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, the guy's the consummate professional when it comes to doing these things, too. And you start thinking about how many times he's portrayed this character over the last 21 years. It's six times now, and that's a lot of goes in that over that apparent time. The guy doesn't age. I mean, clearly not aging anymore. So he's good to go for these as long as possible. I would like to see him mix in maybe a critically acclaimed smaller film in between doing some of these bigger movies. He did American Made, which was, I guess, on the smaller side between the
he
Mummy
did the
and
Mummy.
This.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, that just because the grosses were small doesn't mean it was a small movie.
It was
movie,
an art film, I thought, yeah.
This looks like the career, you know, recoursing that he needs to get back as that stat. It's just amazing to me. The guy's been around for 30 plus years and he's still one of the biggest draws in the world.
Is it is this a recoursing, or is this just the zig to all the zags he gets to do because of this?
Yeah, it's his bread and butter. I mean, he's probably what he makes the most money on financially because he's a producer as well, and he's heavily invested in this. He always has been.
It's these types of movies that allow him to go out and fumble, you know, make a mistake, take a risk, do something cool, as you said. So I would, rather than The Mummy, I agree with you. I'd rather see him attempt to do some other stuff, you know. Of course, we're getting another Edge of Tomorrow. I don't know what the hell. What is it called?
Yeah, Edge of Tomorrow.
Kill Today, Live repeat, Tomorrow, yeah. Whatever the hell. Yeah, whatever you want to call it now. So we do get another one of those, which is fantastic. But yeah, you know, these Mission Impossible movies, they're really filling that void left by the new James Bonds.
And it's interesting that they've made now a Mission Impossible movie in between the James Bond. It's taken them longer to get a James Bond project off the ground than for them to complete.
Is that surprising, though? I mean, hasn't that been the trend as of the last 10 years, really?
I don't know why they're so lackadaisical in getting those Bond movies out. They used to be every 2 to 3 years, you could set your watch by it. Now it seems to be more like 4 to 6 years. And it seems to be a little bit long in the tooth for Craig, who does not seem to be. The thing is this. I mean, this would be my last point on this movie is, would you rather be Ethan Hunt or James Bond at this point? I think Ethan Hunt has a lot more fun and is involved in a much less demanding world than the James Bond character.
Oh, for sure. And his team is seems like a lot funner. You know, they've really dragged everything down with the James Bond team, unfortunately. And even Q to this point isn't anything special. You know, they've kind of, I don't know, just separated him from his team, whereas Mission Impossible movies, as you said, they've introduced Simon, they've really brought together more of a team around him. So yeah, I think they're doing everything right, Mission Impossible.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this one. I think that wraps up our trailer show for today. This was a fun one. We got to do only trailers, which is really sometimes the best part of going to the movies, wouldn't you agree? Especially some of the shit we see.
Yeah. Yeah. The trailers are always better than the movies anyway, so.
And that's been a trend now for like 2 decades, I feel like. Yeah, it used to always be the case because there were some bad trailers in the 90s and in late 80s for things. But I swear, ever since Pearl Harbor, I thought, my God, that trailer was gorgeous. And I do like Pearl Harbor, but that trailer, I'll never forget how sweeping it was, only to be not nearly as swept away when I finally saw
they
the product.
They can really nail trailers now, especially with just with music and the parts that they pick to put in the trailers. You know, the scenes, they're not even scenes. They're just like flashes of cool stuff that you want to see, you know?
Yeah. Great beats. They like, find all those beats.
Yeah, that could be cool. I wonder how that fits into the puzzle. You know, of course, it doesn't really, and it'll just be some throwaway crummy scene, you know, but it's a great visual for that, you know, half a second that it's on the screen.
I have to say, overall, this was a very solid showing for trailers and teasers in the Super Bowl.
I'm excited this year.
Yeah, so am I. I wasn't going into this, you know, especially coming off of having just seen The Last Jedi. And, you know, you and I haven't done our show yet. We talked about that, but we both are pretty negative on that. And I got a really bad taste in my mouth for blockbusters now towards the end of the year. I've also seen the numerous Oscar contenders and have not necessarily been blown away by those. So I was getting a little down. And this just looks like you're harkening back to old-fashioned blockbusters. And I love that shit. That's what summertime movie going is to me.
This has been the trend, at least for me anyways. You know, by beginning of the year, see all the trailers, get very excited. midway through summer, realize, oh no, I've been totally tricked.
You've been duped, you know? Sir.
There's a couple of great movies, but most of them are just not so good. And then by the end of the year, you're just kind of like, oh gosh, you know. And then if there's a Star Wars movie to dot that off at the end of the year, it's really not ending well.
Which I think is why they may have pushed up Solo. I think they know that The Last Jedi, if you give a year between Star Wars movies, you might have a greater fall off than rather than 6 months. So it's interesting that they're doing that for the first time that I can remember, two Star Wars movies within a calendar year.
Well, it'll be nice to get the off Star Wars movies, you know, not the base trilogy stuff.
Yeah, the
out
canon.
Of that time slot, you know, and into its own thing where it can live and breathe and not live or die by the, you know, the main storylines.
Yeah, and I'm tired of my Christmases being dominated by Star Wars movies, to be honest with you. The last couple of them, I feel like it's all we do during Christmas is watch these fucking Star Wars movies now. Well, that's going to wrap up today's show. We want to thank you, as always, for joining us on these podcasts. We have a great time doing it. We want to encourage you guys to rate the show, review it on any sort of platform you may be listening to the show from. To all of our listeners out there, we want to thank you, and also go to MovieMavericks.com for the latest reviews, a number of films we have not talked about on the show yet, but we will be back with you next week with a regular show, and following that, a retro episode. Thanks again. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to MovieMavericks.com, Warp 9. Engage!